Mr. President, Mr. Secretary General, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. 50 years ago this April, when the conference began, I was a 19-year-old Navy ensign assigned to San Francisco awaiting the repair of my ship, one of 12 million Americans called to arms to defend our country and its allies in history's greatest and most terrible war. I was billeted in the bachelor officers' quarters in one of the few floors of the St. Francis Hotel that had not been given over to the United Nations. As I went back and forth to my Navy duties, I remember seeing such renowned figures as Arthur Vandenberg, Edward Stettinius, Anthony Eden, Andre Gromyko, Cordell Hull. They had come to this city to devise a framework that they hoped would keep the peace as effectively as they had prosecuted the war. Walter Cronkite certainly captured their spirit well in his phrase, "We were not isolated in war, we could not be isolated in peace." The world has been a dangerous and often violent place in the last half century, but the institutions that our predecessors built have worked well, from the United Nations to the IMF and the World Bank to the Atlantic Alliance. We've avoided global war, and we've forged the greatest era of global prosperity the world has ever seen. We are here to rededicate ourselves to the ideals of the United Nations Charter. While the United Nations has had its share of setbacks, it has nevertheless helped to make an imperfect world more peaceful, more prosperous, and more free. And it has allowed the United States to marshal international support for goals that reinforce our common values as well as our interests. Just yesterday in Haiti, the United Nations, the United States, and the people of Haiti took a major step for democracy. Democratic elections were held in a country where less than a year ago a brutal dictatorship reigned. President Clinton, your leadership, your courage has given the people of Haiti a chance to build their own lives. Haiti is an example of why every American president since Harry Truman has worked with the United Nations to advance our interests. That is why we look to the United Nations to address the great transnational issues in this post-Cold War era: proliferation, environmental degradation, terrorism, narcotics, crime, and unsustainable development. Superpower confrontation no longer paralyzes the possibility of change at the United Nations. Our task today is to take the United Nations and all the great global institutions that our predecessors left it, to take them and make them better in a changed world. When these institutions succeed, lives are saved, children are educated, diseases are cured, refugees are given shelter, and economies are lifted. When they fail, people suffer and nations decline. This is a measure of their importance and a measure of the need to ensure that they are up to the challenge of the times. President Kennedy often told the story of French Marshal Léotard, who, upon asking his gardener to plant a tree, was informed that the tree would not reach maturity for 100 years. In that case, the marshal replied, "There is no time to lose. Plant it this afternoon." Our post-Cold War institutions have been maturing for 50 years now, and there is much to be done to raise them to their full potential. That is a goal worth striving for, and we must begin right now. President Clinton is the first American president to have been born after World War II ended and the UN was established. President Kennedy's proverbial torch has been passed to him and his generation, and so has the necessary task of renewal in our nation and in the United Nations. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great honor to present to you the President of the United States, William Jefferson Clinton.